In Jesus' name, beloved of God. A young mother, in one of those delicious moments that make mothers what they are, swept her two-year-old daughter into her arms and said, "Oh, I love you." The little girl, very much occupied with the whim of the moment, pulled away and said, "Yes, I know." And love was taken for granted. In just a couple of days, we will be scattered and gathered. Scattered from here and gathered in other places, singing songs of thanksgiving. But we will not really be able to thank God for the gifts of His love if we take His love for granted. Today, the writer of Psalm 16 leads the way for us. He says, "I love the Lord." And he says this because he has seen the Lord's own love. The Lord has heard his prayer, his voice, his cry for mercy. He has turned his ear toward him. And so he has done for us, hasn't he? Our Savior promised, "Whenever you ask, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And when we come to God, Jesus says, "Come along with me. For with me the Father is well pleased, and your prayer will be heard." But the psalmist gets even more specific. He says the cords of death entangled him. Death was all around him. But so was the Lord, gracious, righteous, full of compassion. Not asking whether he deserved death, but graciously reaching down to rescue him from death, from tears, from stumbling. And so he has also done for us. Not only did God send his Son to take our place before the judgment seat of God and spare us eternal death, but even in lesser judgments, he rescues us, turning the grave into a resting place, drying our tears, giving us strength to bear what he is going to turn into a blessing. He not only keeps us from stumbling in our faith when affliction comes upon us, but so often he even prevents the calamities from happening to us, even when we're not aware of it at all. When we sit down to lunch, we don't usually think, "My life is saved." But in the early days of the New England colonies, it was sometimes customary on Thanksgiving Day to place beside each plate 5 kernels of corn. This was to remind everyone of that winter when once 5 kernels of corn had been the ration of food for everyone. And every material gift that you can think of, every gift of food, God uses to preserve us from death, just as surely as he used those 5 kernels of corn. Precious indeed in the Lord's sight is the death of his dear ones. He does not permit it to happen lightly, even after he has removed the real sting from death. And we are all his dear ones, his family, his holy ones, saints, because Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So what shall we render to the Lord? How can we repay him for all his goodness, for blessing us with courage and faith, even when we were afflicted, so that we did not give up in dismay, as the psalmist says he used to, saying, "All men are liars." Shall we bring money or food, or labor, and time? The first thing the psalmist mentions is none of these. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. You all know that if the day after tomorrow you sit at the Thanksgiving table and pick at your food, it can be an insult to the one who worked hard to prepare it and set it before you. Well, what do you think it is when God calls from Calvary and from a thousand circumstances of life, "My child, I love you." And we pull away and say, "Yes, I know. What's for dessert?" The best way that we can serve and thank God is to receive the gift that he brings. There's nothing wrong with Martha's serving Christ in the kitchen, but there is everything wrong if our glamorous ideas of serving get in the way of sitting at the Lord's feet, like Mary, and letting him do what he came for: rescue us from death, deliver our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. The best way we can thank him for hearing our prayers is to pray. Not to pray, "Do this for me once, Lord, and then I'll never bother you again." But as the psalm says, "I will call on him as long as I live." Then, having received the wondrous bounty of God, we will not neglect our commitments, fail to fulfill our vows, commitments to God and to one another. Then we will hope that we can sing our praise among all God's people, not so that more people can see us do it, but that more can rejoice with us and sing songs of thanksgiving to God. Let us rise then and join the psalmist in reading together Psalm 116. We'll sing it antiphonally by verse, the responses being the even-numbered verses indented. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me.
Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you.
For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars.
How can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, Hallelujah.